right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down to possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it.
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't hurt?
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
I didn't know where that was starting.
That's what that looks like when it starts.
Yes, I understand that.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Hey.
That's pulling back the curtain.
Your son is dying to get on this show.
He'll get there. He'll get there one day. One day I'll pass the reins over.
No. Little Frodo's geek stuff.
Okay, he's got enough toys. I mean, his toy collection continues to grow exponentially.
I have to let everybody know at the outset.
Yeah.
That I'm currently watching an eBay auction.
Okay.
For the last San Diego exclusive.
That you need.
That I need.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Nothing. I'm just letting
that
you know.
That we should allow you to be distracted.
If you turn to me at some point and you're like, Kev, it's probably because.
So it's not because you fell asleep on the show. It's
no, you've been not this time.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clear
in advance. This is, of course, Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Yep. It is.
This is episode 339.
That's the rumor.
We are calling it. We are Groot.
We are Groot.
I am OG. You are
Groot.
Groot.
You just said we are Groot.
Yes, that is the collective we, but individually.
Big Kev.
I just want to say I am Groot.
He is Groot from now on.
Scape Groot.
That's right.
I am Scape Groot.
Now I have to see someone has to do a Photoshop dancing Scape Groot.
What we need is a goat combined with Groot. Groot.
Right.
Scape Groot.
we
can't get Coke Logic to finish the thing anyway.
I know,
we can't just keep changing it up on him.
Listen, Coke Logic's very busy. He did a game stuff for us this week, so
what?
We'll have that during the second segment.
That is amazing. I also saw that he had time enough to Twitter, so.
Hey, listen.
Guess he's not so overburdened.
Hey, listen. We're not paying him, mostly.
Awesome.
So, you know, just saying. We have a couple of voicemails that we want to play this week because
yes.
It kind of leads into
probably
one of the biggest conversations we're going to have. So why don't we play those back to back? We'll address those.
The one about POA?
And, we'll talk about that in the product segment
of
today's show. So here we go. A couple of voicemails for you.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff from Albuquerque. Not going to say super fan. Just doesn't get it guy at Fuzzy Press on Twitter. And I went and saw the Guardians movie yesterday, And, man, I was just blown away. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it. I stayed away from all the trailers. I just came back from San Diego Comic-Con and was there for the five-day span, three panels, I should say, I did. And I was blown away by the amount of people that were there, the lack thereof, I should say. The traffic didn't seem that heavy this year out there because everybody was there for preview night so that they could trample my ass getting to the toys for the exclusives. And sorry, guys, I tried to get in there, but, man, when you got a 60-year-old grandma in a car wheeling by you, it's insane. And another thing I saw this year, first time on the floor, wagons. Wagons full of toys being hauled away from Hasbro and stuff. And when I went up and approached them preview night, they said, yep, we're out of those right now, but you can get back in line tomorrow morning in the sales pavilion to get tickets to come stand in line to buy the exclusives. So that was something new for me. Maybe it's been there for a while, but I had never heard about standing in line to get tickets in the sales pavilion for the next day to stand in line to buy toys. Anyway, guys, it was a con. Hope to hear what you guys got to say about it, and take it easy. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's Cleveland, I guess, at CLE Steven on Twitter. Enjoying the show as always. I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy yesterday, and I thought it was amazing. Can't wait for the second one. I thought the Easter egg at the very end of the movie was hilarious. The best part was, it's just kind of the reference. I don't know if you guys are going to say anything, so I don't want to give it away, but it was kind of funny. I was speaking last week about the Funko Pops and how I'm starting to collect those and kind of get the toys with that. I've actually come across in the last week, I've bought myself 5 different San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. I've gone to different stores. 7-Eleven was carrying some. Walmart was carrying some. So I've kind of been doing that for a little while, too. So I'm kind of getting into that, too. I want to appreciate that. I'm glad you guys should be going to New York Comic Con, so that's great to hear. And it's awesome that I won one of the toys in the raffle, so I appreciate that. But as always, I just want to know what you guys thought about Guardians of the Galaxy. Has it lived up to your expectations? I think it exceeded my expectations, and I can't wait to see what they do. They bring them together with the Avengers at all in the third movie, or whatever they do in the whole universe. You guys have a good one. Thank you again. Bye.
There you go.
So there you go.
Now it's working.
It is in fact working.
So let's address
not super fan in Albuquerque.
Isn't
first.
That's not Scanner.
That doesn't get a guy. No. Scanner 51 is correct me guy.
Is it super fan? Doesn't get a guy.
No. He says he's not super fan. He's not using super fan.
Well, fine. You don't want to be a super fan, sir.
He's happy enough just being doesn't get a guy.
I guess.
So
San Diego, was it your first trip to San Diego? Is my question.
Well, his message was a bit confusing. At first, he was like, I was shocked how many people were there, or lack thereof, because there were so many people there on Wednesday, and I couldn't get exclusives because there was an old lady in a wheelchair and people with wagons.
Well, clearly,
I think that sums it up, right?
Clearly, he couldn't get an exclusive, which is why I'm sitting here monitoring on my phone the last exclusive that I need.
Why? You should just head to 7-Eleven.
I got to say, you know what?
We'll get to that.
I got to say to, what's it? Do you remember that dude's name? Is it Mike Blum or Mike?
Who?
The guy who got me Jabba.
I don't remember.
Yeah. So that cat, I'm sorry. I should have known this coming in. The guy who got me the Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. Thank you very much, sir.
Yes.
Thank you very much. However, since Superfan doesn't get it, guy was not able to get me the Jax
Shadow Trooper.
Yeah. I'm now, you're my watching. Eyes glued to this.
Well, while your eyes are glued to that, well, let's address Cleveland.
Funko?
That's Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland. Cleveland is buying a lot of Funko exclusives.
He is.
San Diego exclusives, not from San Diego.
Hey, Peter.
I did not realize that Funko had 7-Eleven San Diego exclusives. I saw the sticker on one of the packages. I believe it actually says 7-Eleven on it. So there you go.
7-Eleven getting in the exclusive game.
And Walmart, too. Well, Walgreens is in Walgreens. Now. So, you know, everybody, it's no holes barred. Clearly, though, Cleveland, I think, has a problem. He might have to go to Funko Anonymous because
he's
bought
a
5
lot
this week. He bought 3 or 4 the week before.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
You know what, though? Can I just say this?
What?
If you're going to collect something that's like uniform like that, Funko's a good way to go.
Can we be held liable for contributing to the delinquency of collectors?
Of Cleveland?
Yeah.
No. Okay. I think we can just laugh at it.
Oh, good. Good.
Or mock it or make fun of
it.
Or
appreciate
it. Can't we just ask for 10%?
Well, we could.
Can we just
from
that?
Funko?
From Funko.
Yeah.
That's right. Funko, sponsor this show. But let's move into the unifying comment between the two voicemails.
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of the biggest conversations I think we're going to have this
episode. So you saw it last night?
I did. I went and saw it last night.
And the goat and I
saw it this morning.
Yep. Yeah,
I did the 3D IMAX experience.
As did we.
Indeed.
And I thought it was well worth it. Let's start with that. I thought it was worth it.
I did. I agree.
I thought it looked great. In the big screen, I thought it was really clear.
Mm-hmm.
The sound was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yep. And since the movie relied heavily on, and I've seen people criticizing this, by the way, people who we kind of associate with that I kind of just want to smack, criticizing the
music
in the
movie. Is one of them named Smack?
No.
Oh.
Criticizing the music in the movie, their criticism was that it felt very fake and forced.
What?
Except that it was a driving factor of the lead character of the movie. So
how is it forced?
Who says that?
I'll tell you off. I'll tell you when we're when
put the show on hold for a second.
I'll tell you during the break.
No, now.
I'll tell you during the break.
All right.
But I thought the music was great. I thought that it was such an important part of Peter Quill, the character. I thought that was pretty
kind of grounded
epic
because it's the first Marvel movie that takes place.
Yeah.
In space.
Well,
most
not
of the,
really
for most of it.
Yeah, but Thor 2 mostly takes place in space.
Well, but only on Asgard and whatever that...
Oh, and that other realm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, Guardians. I will say that if you have not yet seen it, fast forward, because... We're going to talk about it.
We're talking about it, and there's a lot.
But a lot of people have seen it because it's made almost $100 million.
It's made 180 plus million worldwide.
Greenlighting two sequels.
And it's right. Have they greenlit two sequels?
Yep.
Oh. And it's made, it's made almost $100 million. It's made just over $100 million, I think, domestically now. So it's doing quite well.
Scapegoat and I were discussing the fact that it would be unbelievable to imagine that they are not fast tracking.
Well, they have a date announced for the second one already. It's 2017.
Oh, they do?
Yes.
Huh? Is that before or after Avengers 3?
It's before. After. Avengers 3? It's before Avengers 3.
What year is it?
2017.
Oh,
2015 is Avengers 2.
2?
Right.
So Avengers 3 is not until...
18.
Well, or whenever Phase 3 ends. Do we know when Phase 3 actually ends?
Oh, I don't know.
We don't even know all the movies in Phase 3 yet. We know Ant-Man, Guardians 2, and Avengers 3. Those are the only ones we know confirmed.
Right, but the rumors are...
The rumors are Thor 3.
Doctor Strange.
Yep.
There's another one.
Cap 3, we're assuming, is going to be in there.
Aren't there loose Iron Man 4 rumors now?
No, Cap 3 is 2016. We have a date for that. It opens the same day as Batman.
Oh,
Superman.
That's right. You're right. We do have that. But that being said, I cannot imagine that Avengers 3 is before 2018, 2019. And that might even be...
Jesus, I'm going to be dead by then.
Yeah, you might be. Statistically,
that's true.
One
of the people in this room.
But let's talk about Guardians. The emotional roller coaster that was that movie. Seriously, I laughed, I cried.
All right,
the whole nine.
Why don't we talk about the things that bothered you? Because I know there are a few
that bothered me.
Yeah,
nothing bothered me.
You were okay with Bradley Cooper?
I was
okay.
I went in being hesitant about Bradley Cooper. But when it was done, I was perfectly okay with Bradley.
Okay, me too. That's
perfectly okay.
I thought we might have a point of contention.
No, I mean, I think probably part of me still wishes that maybe
he had a Cockney accent.
He had the accent,
right?
For nostalgia reasons. That being said, I'm totally fine with how it was handled, and I thought he was perfect.
They even made a reference to The Hangover.
Did they really?
The man purse line is The Hangover.
Oh, is that a Hangover thing? Yeah. Oh, I didn't pick up on that as a Hangover reference. So no, I had no issues. I had no issues. Seriously.
And Karen Gillian?
Amazing.
So
underused.
Hot.
Happy she's still alive.
Yep.
Which means hopefully we'll see more of her.
I'd like to see more of her.
I thought Dave Bautista was great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I thought Zoe Saldana was great.
Is she going to be in every space movie?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
Although I do think that about all the characters, I think she was the weakest link.
No way. Batista was definitely the weakest link.
I don't mean her performance.
Or character.
Character. I don't bring her performance, I think, was fine. I think her character was a bit, I think some of it might have been a little bit rushed.
I think they left her room to grow exponentially.
Absolutely. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
I just think everybody was that way, though.
No, I thought Peter Quill was pretty well developed. Not I think Rocket is a mystery.
Yeah, but they have
clearly a mystery.
But they have directions to go with all of those characters.
No, yeah, no, I know. I think just Gamora's backstory was left the most open. The weakest link is
you are the weakest link.
Yeah, but I feel. But here's the thing: I feel that this opens up the Marvel space stuff.
Of course,
they introduced a bunch of species and talked about Kree and all that kind of. So, I mean, her being a daughter of Thanos, like I can only imagine that
adopted.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm asking, the reason why I asked One Avengers 3 is because I think they're going to be the main team of Avengers 3 or closer to the main team. Because if Thanos is 3, right?
Is 3.
We think so?
Yeah, it has
so
to be.
There's no way that they are not, if they want to transition to
There's a lot of ground to cover, younger, different
characters, right? We have a sequel in between, which will probably be all about Star-Lord's father.
Right.
Yeah, War of Kings.
Right. So that's what I think. It's going to get a little backstory action, and then it'll lead directly into she would not be emotional part of Thanos and killing him and trying to take down
probably.
So I think, you know, it really opened up a lot of more.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It opened up a lot more stories to tell, I think.
Can you look up who Marvel's currently listing as his father?
It is Spartois, something like that.
Are they listing anybody as his father? Oh, you mean in the comic books?
In the comics.
Oh, it's Joe. It's Spartax is the alien race. Spartan.
Is that? I don't know if it's Spartoy or Spart. No, that's the guy.
No, it's the planet.
No, it's not.
But the king of Spartax or the king of the Spartax.
It's his father.
But what's his father's actual name?
Spartanoid.
or whatever.
T-O-I?
It's a race of people.
No, but his father is actually a character name. And they get Ted. He's a major part.
I think it's Ted.
He's a major part of the new Guardians book.
Esson?
I just can't think.
Jason?
Jason. I think that's J apostrophe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was something like that.
I should have thought of that because his name is Jason.
Yeah.
Peter Jason Quill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Right.
Yeah. I actually knew that.
So I think obviously that's the sequel. Let's talk about Groot. Groot stole it. How did he steal the show?
Did he steal it from Rocket though?
I maintain
anytime either one of them was on the screen, they just owned it.
I think Groot had some amazing. What they did with just his emotions, his facial expressions. Yep. The best one is probably where he spears the line of guys
and bashes them around,
and then
and just he turns looks and back smiles. And
the smile. I mean that like I did good, right? Like that acceptance smile.
No,
brilliant.
The Groot
baby
in the
dancing,
pot.
Baby dancing Groot,
which was pretty awesome.
Which as you pointed out, that should be a product. I would buy.
Yeah, where is that product? Yeah.
Well, somebody actually did created a resin sculpture of it.
Really?
And sold it already.
Yeah.
But I read somewhere already that they were in talks of trying to figure out how to do it. You use the fucking technology of those dancing plants.
Yeah.
They sell it like five and below. Just make it a plastic Groot.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super fancy and expensive.
No one would care.
Exactly.
I would buy that in a second.
Hell yes.
Because it's adorable.
any other bits that you want to highlight out? The movie just started off.
I mean, do we want to talk about the
part of it?
Do we want to talk about Easter eggs and so on? Oh, you know what I do want to say?
What?
I really like the way they reinvented Yondu.
Yes, it was interesting.
Interesting.
It was an interesting take on Yondu.
Yeah.
But Michael Rooker is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I that guy is awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
he owned that role.
That is so not the character
from
the book. But I really like the way that
I think they did a good job handling it. And I quite like how he handles the end of the film.
Yep.
That when he opens that, spoiler alert, we already gave you it, but just in case. When he opens the pod.
To say it. When he opens it and he sees what's in there.
And he sees what's in there and it's not what he was hoping.
Right.
Or, But how he handles it in a totally just okay way, just perfect.
But I think
perfect.
It's also supposed to be like something to put on his control console. Yeah. Like it's still a way, you know what I mean? It's not just like, hey, we fucked you over. It's like, I got a little gift for you while I fucked you over.
That's what I mean. I mean, first of all, I think that really helps further define that relationship between the two characters.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think it was just so perfect with the rest of the tone of that character and the film overall. Roman Day, what's his name? Dewey Cox.
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly, I thought was great.
I told this to Scapegoat when we were done with it. I thought at the end when they were like all like kind of during the scene when he goes home and he sees his family.
Yeah.
I think it was cool and cute the way that it happened. I really thought he was going to walk in there and it was going to be the kid Nova.
You know, I thought there was going to be, I really thought that there was going to be more of a direct Nova the character reference somewhere in the film. That being said, I'm okay with it not. As long as he makes his way into the universe, and how can he not? The fucking Nova Corps exists. So it stands to reason that after the devastation that has befallen Xander, someone has to kind of step in and maybe be a representative.
Will he break the neck of his enemy?
Yeah.
After trashing the city to save it.
We'll see.
Wow.
That's right. I went there.
What else? Ronan the Accuser. Kind of surprised they...
Terrific.
Terrific. I'm surprised they offed him, though.
I'm not surprised they offed him.
Really? I thought he might stick around a little bit.
You know what?
But he was great. Lee Pace did a fantastic job.
Thanos doesn't need him. That's not. So it's kind of a perfect one-off villain.
Sure.
You know, because that guy, I mean, look what it took to take him down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I'm kind of happy that they iced him in the movie.
Thanos, I thought was great for what he was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot, but it was enough.
I didn't want to get off Ronan so quick.
Oh, okay, yeah, Ronan.
I felt the film version of that character eclipsed, again, the book version of the character. You know, they never play up that zealot angle.
Yeah, he's far. I mean, he's kind of twisted in the book, but I think he's
way
far more evil.
Yeah,
in this than I remember him from being in the book. I mean,
and the design of the character and everything, like they stayed faithful, but it was still like they put that gritty shit on his face. And
what's his race?
Cree.
He's a Cree, right?
Yeah, that's what Cree are.
Which really just,
he's
by the way,
he's a zealot Cree.
Which really, after seeing that, really just solidified the Cree. If you didn't think it was Cree already in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, there's no way that the blue guy wasn't Cree, right? I don't think that they ever confirmed it. But after seeing that and seeing the other Cree in the movie,
that's a good point.
It was 100% Cree.
We'll find out in a few months.
I can't imagine it not being. It almost looked like Lee Pace without the armor on.
Now, what is Skye?
Wait. So that means that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So Guardians is adding to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also the same way.
Of course.
Cap 2
it's the
did.
Same
universe.
Of course. It's the same. It has
well, I know
to,
it's
yeah.
the same universe. That doesn't mean, you know.
It just means that there was a Kree on Earth.
Let's
That's
talk,
all it means.
Let's
in some
talk
capacity.
About the post credit.
Let's talk about
it. So if you really don't want to hear about it, unless you've been under a rock.
Let's talk about the first time we get to the collector's room.
Okay.
And some of the things that we see for sure and some of the things people think they see.
Yeah. So what is the Wonder Twin looking elf thing?
The Wonder Twin looking elf.
Oh,
thing.
The white elf.
That's the dark elf from Thor 2.
Okay, it is a dark elf.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
It's even wearing the armor.
That's why
he looked too pale.
No, they were way pale.
That's why I said.
I
asked if it was a dark elf.
I was a little like.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely a dark elf.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Apparently, let's talk about Cosmo. You see Cosmo,
the talking Russian space dog.
Yeah,
which is fantastic.
Yep.
For those of you that did not pick up on it, Cosmo is wearing the Aether around his neck as on his collar.
I didn't
He has
see that.
The gem on his collar.
I did not see that.
And that's significant when we get to, I think it's significant when we get to the post-credit stinger. the yellow cocoon.
The warlock.
That we see the second, this is Adam the second warlock. Time we've seen it now, because it was also in the collector scene at the Thor 2 stinger, and we see it again in this scene.
Right.
The guy with the blonde hair and what looks like a red cape, you can only see him from behind, sitting down. I've heard a lot of different rumors on that. I've heard that it's Thunderstrike. I've heard that It's Beta Ray Bill, except that Beta Ray Bill doesn't have blonde hair.
Yeah.
So that one is just problem. Silly to me. Thunderstrike, I guess it could be. I don't know why he would be there, but I suppose it could be.
I just think it's discussion generated.
Yeah. And now we can go to the post credit.
The pod, though, is important.
The pod is very important.
Because if it is Adam Warlock, would you say Gunn confirmed?
Gunn has confirmed that it's Adam Warlock's pod.
So if it's Adam Warlock's pod, Adam Warlock is a character who has an infinity gem in his head.
Correct. It's so, the soul gem, I believe.
It's so at some point,
right,
he's going to have to pop out of there. He's going to have to fly around and be an issue and then be killed. By the way, he has blonde hair and a red cape.
Yes, but he was in, but the blonde hair and the red cape was spotted during the first sequence.
I know.
Before the pod was cracked open in the after sequence. So the pod is open in the after sequence.
We're going to see what that means at some point.
So I think Adam Warlock is now out and about. For those of you that he goes into the pod as sort of like a regeneration kind of scenario. Mm-hmm, so that's why he would be in the pod to begin with. Cosmo is also loose. And if he has the gem, that means that the collector doesn't anymore.
I don't think he has any of the gems.
Tesseract.
Tesseract is still in Asgard. He had the Aether.
Yeah, but now it's gone.
Now it's gone because
it's not like they showed Cosmo leaving.
No, but Cosmo, for those of you who don't know, Cosmo eventually becomes the person who's in charge of Nowhere. So I think that there's a good chance, and it would be a good way to play up Nowhere going forward and make Cosmo in charge of Nowhere.
We'll see.
Howard the Duck. I think it was a throwaway.
No.
I think it was funny.
Yes. Here's what
I think it was perfect for the tone of the film.
Right. Yeah.
100% fit. I'm not upset by it, but I don't expect a Howard the Duck movie going forward.
But here's, well, two things. One, it was voiced by Seth Green.
That's right.
The second thing, and this is what I told Scapegoat after the end. No, what?
We had an argument over that.
I just said Scapegoat found out that it was Seth Green. There, you feel better now? Not slighted?
Sure, sure.
You want to hop in there and say, I found that out? Then do that.
No.
The point I'm trying to make is that this is Marvel. I think this is kind of Marvel going, we're invincible.
Yeah.
We can put Howard the Duck in a movie.
Yeah. You think a raccoon with a machine gun is silly?
Yeah.
He's a duck with a martini.
Yep. Yep. You don't think we're invincible? Yeah. Look at this.
And I believe in the book that Howard the Duck spends a considerable amount of time on Nowhere as well.
He's coming back.
So in the book.
He is.
Yeah. So I would not be surprised if Nowhere plays a role. Oh, and Nowhere also kind of becomes almost a home base for the Guardians.
Right.
I would not be surprised if Howard is in another movie in Nowhere. I don't think it's going to be a prominent role, maybe a line or two,
right?
A little bit of funny ha ha hee hee. But so Howard the Duck is back officially in the Marvel Universe, movie universe.
Because
you know that first movie.
Whew.
Yikes.
That's what I mean. That movie was so bad, considered by many people one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah.
First of all, I think he should have looked exactly like that Howard the Duck. I think would have been funnier.
I think he looked closer to the comic book version, to be honest with you.
But that's what I think would have been even funnier.
The one from the movie, really, let's be honest, looked like Donald Duck.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it looked
like Donald. All right. I'm sorry. Looked like Huey, Dewey, or Louie.
Well, the point I'm making is that I think really, really thumbing their nose at it by putting that duck in there, I think would have been funnier.
I think the movie overall was great.
Yep.
I think it met all expectations and then some.
Yep.
The sequel is a no-brainer, obviously. A third one is a no-brainer.
Yep.
I'll say something negative.
Yeah, go ahead.
The one thing, and this totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So the first thing is it totally makes sense in the larger story that they're telling and all that kind of stuff. But one of the biggest things about most of the Marvel movies is it's a, there's a thing, let's go chase the thing.
Yes.
It's just every, there's a thing, let's chase it.
And we talked about this.
I know. I know that it mounts to something else. But the one movie where that was the case, but I felt that they were still like being kind of deeper about it, if that makes sense, was Captain America 2.
What were they chasing in Captain America 2?
They actually weren't chasing anything in Captain America 2. There was no stone.
That was
in
that
the
movie. One. That was the one that did not
That's
fall
the only
into
one that
category.
Did not fall into that category.
But I mean, Iron Man 1 either technically, right? And Iron Man 2 actually, I think too, but. None of the stones. The Tesseract was not introduced until Cap.
Right.
And he was after Extremis.
Right.
But he wasn't after Extremis.
No, that was just, it was a plot device. Yeah. It was a point of the movie. No, look, I mean, I think if you want to argue tones, it's a different tone than Cap for sure. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
But I honestly think that yes, they were chasing it, but I really think that this movie was the story of Peter Quill.
Yes.
And that the Infinity Stone was a plot device to unite the team. And it also was a way to move the overall story.
I'm not saying it was done badly, yeah. And I'm like, oh, look, just another movie where they chase something. I'm just saying that that has been the plot of most of the Marvel movies now. And that I felt like Captain America, it had a different tone, and it felt like the directors were also trying to say something else outside of what the movie was, if that kind of makes sense.
Right.
Like, about government, you know, all thematically.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Well, so there's like a, I felt like they were trying to tell a deeper theme, and they even talk about it, right? That they're inspired by the 70s political intrigue movies, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this was not, which is totally fine, and I'm not criticizing it. I liked the movie a lot.
Right, no, but let's talk about that, though. I think that each of the franchises have their own sort of theme. I think the Iron Man theme, going back to even the first one, is man versus technology in all of them.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's there in all those movies, right?
And, sure. That's going to be Avengers 2.
Yeah. And the Cap theme has been that, right? It's been this sort of the shield and the political aspect of it, mm-hmm. right? And,
a man
and
out of
the
time.
Government aspect of it.
A man out of time.
Yeah. What is America?
Huh?
Like that's isn't that the theme to all the Captain America movies, really?
Yeah, sort of.
What defines America? Yeah. Like patriotism now versus then?
I think Thor's theme is really just fantasy driven. You know what I mean? I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, fantasy on Earth, mm-hmm. fantasy driven. And I think Guardians is going to be underdogs. Yeah. And I think, you know, and again, I think the use of the Infinity Stone is just an overall.
Yeah. And I think it also ties it into the rest of the cinematic universe.
Of course, you had to.
They're gonna tell.
The one thing I will say that I really liked about the movie as well. I like that it stood very much on its own.
Yep.
A lot of people that like, oh, Iron Man should have been in the after credits stinger. I'm glad that it wasn't bogged down. And I don't mean bogged down in a horrendously negative aspect, but I like that it wasn't bogged down by the rest of the Marvel Universe. I think it stands very well and very strongly on its own two feet.
But has enough ties.
Of course.
Well, isn't that the idea? They want to open up the space universe.
Of course. So. Right. But they could have easily put Iron Man into the after credit stinger. Iron Man shows up on nowhere and somehow they could have. I'm not saying it would have. I would have liked it.
Is he working
could see
on him. Ultron now?
Well, again, but
at this time.
But where does Guardians take place in regards to where do, Guardians takes has to take place after Thor 2, but where does it take place in regards to Avengers 3?
Why does that take? Oh,
because after Thor 2, they bring the stone to the collector. Collector has it in Guardians. So
collector had a smaller pad at the end of Thor 2. By the way, that looked like an apartment overstuffed.
Well,
with
that's
stuff.
Yeah,
as
because
opposed
they didn't
to
finish
his
the
yeah.
set nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't finish the set or the lighting.
But so that's it. I mean, I don't think we have to say anything else.
Do
about
we think?
Guardians
do we think
point.
He's coming back? I feel
the
like
collector.
I feel like Glenn Close will definitely show up again.
No, I don't think. I think the collector's done. To be quite honest with you,
really?
Yeah.
But it's huge.
I mean, he
clearly really. Benicio,
I think he's still.
He clearly developed that character. He's clearly a huge actor, and he had one scene and half a scene as a stinger.
No.
How is he not going to be a bigger
because
role?
Because
Adam Warlock is still there. So that's going to be a thing.
He's
Two,
not still there.
He is,
broke out of the.
Is. Well, the pot is cracked open.
Yeah.
So,
and he's not there.
He could be out of it.
And I still maintain that the dog hasn't gone anywhere, which means. I mean, theoretically, the
he's
ether
the
is still in his possession.
I don't know.
So.
I think that the collector was the broker for Ronan. Without Ronan there, does Thanos need the collector? I mean, maybe the collector is there as sort of a peripheral background, but I don't. Who needs the collector at this point? Is Thanos going to get another?
Who knows
henchman?
What the collector has?
Nobody knows, but he has a bunch of shit.
That's
that
what I mean.
Right?
It's I mean, anything.
Sure. Maybe he
Let
has
me
another
show you
weapon.
My secret storage thing, and here's a weapon.
Sure.
That you guys
if
can
only
use.
We had a Holocaust cloak.
Like for example, here's the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Do you know, like,
except that Odin still has the gauntlet, I think.
Now if
right?
we now if we just had a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
Yeah, I hear you. He's the bag of holding. I hear
exactly.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the MacGuffin for the overall universe.
He's the easy go-to for where is that cosmic thing that we need?
Right. Right. He's got the ultimate
Where's the
nullifier.
Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah. Know. All right. Can we move? Do we want to move forward? It's been about 35 minutes.
We should probably take a break.
Let's take a break. We've got some more news, though, and then we'll be right back.
Cool.
This is Robert Kelly, and you're listening to Game Stuff with that hunk of shit host, Coke Logic.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. The rumors were true. There would be two separate Assassin's Creed games this year. While Assassin's Creed Unity has already been announced for the next-gen consoles, Ubisoft has just announced Assassin's Creed Rogue for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Assassin's Creed Rogue centers around Shay Patrick Cormac, set during the Seven-Year War in 1751. Shay Patrick Cormac is an Irishman, by the way, which is awesome, because so am I. The game will take you to snow-covered islands, icebergs I guess, of the North Atlantic Ocean to Old New York, which used to be New Amsterdam. The game will focus on naval exploration, a lot like last year's Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and it pretty much looks like more Black Flag, which is a great thing because Black Flag might be the best game in the series. Get ready for twice as many stealth kills this year when Assassin's Creed Rogue is released on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, November 11th. Capcom has announced Resident Evil Remastered, an HD remake of the Nintendo GameCube remake, which is both exciting and disappointing. On the upside, Resident Evil is a classic game that will finally be released from the confines of a Nintendo GameCube. On the downside, Capcom is farting out yet another iteration of a pre-existing Resident Evil game. Resident Evil will be released digital only on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One early in 2015. Most likely for $20. Speaking of re-releases, one of my favorite games for the Xbox 360, Sleeping Dogs, is getting a next-gen HD re-release. This October 14th, you can pick up Sleeping Dogs for the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. I'm not exactly sure how I feel about this re-release trend anymore. Par for the course, Evolved, the four soldiers versus one giant monster game, has been delayed from October 7th to February 10th, 2015. What a bummer. And finally, BioShock will be released very soon for the iOS. That would be your iPhone. And this is not an RPG reimagining or a turn-based card game. This is the full 2007 Xbox 360 video game on your phone. It only took 7 years to have a state-of-the-art video game from a home console ported to an iPhone. Rockstar has ported Grand Theft Auto games from the PlayStation 2 era, and now we're moving on to Xbox 360 level games. The future is now. The time frame for its release is, quote, very soon, so probably around the time of the iPhone 6. But when it's released, it should be very impressive. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Geek Stuff Crew, this is Scanner51 from Twitter with a question that you guys asked with on show 338, I believe. It was, is Wasp a mutant? The answer is no. She was not born a mutant. Pym created her, so now she is kind of like a mutant, but then that would mean the Hulk is a mutant, so... in my mind, I would say she is not a mutant. Hope this helps out, guys. Have a good show. Bye.
He's just a contrarian douchebag.
Who, the listener?
No.
He agreed with you about the Wasp.
No. The music thing.
Oh, well, yeah. But, you know, that. But he's always...
Of course he agreed with me about the Wasp because I'm correct.
Listen. He is a contrarian douchebag. But we will sit here.
The caller?
No, the other guy. Listen. We could sit here idly while he is, you know, while he's having his opinions.
We don't have to discuss it. I see what you did there.
All right. Let's address the voicemail first.
Okay. Sure.
I wasn't entirely wrong. I just got a little confused.
You weren't entirely wrong.
No. In the ultimate Wasp.
Wasp is a character in the Marvel
Universe. The ultimate Wasp is immune.
Yes, but no one cares about the ultimate universe, but
when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about the kind of incorporation of some of the ultimate aspects of some of these characters. And the first thing I went to was the ultimate version of,
right,
of that character who is a mutant.
Right.
So I was definitely incorrect, but not entirely incorrect. I just got a bit, you know, the streams got crossed.
I'm down to 1 minute.
Just wrong universe.
Yeah, wrong universe.
Yeah, whatever. It happens all the time.
I was on, what is it, 1616 instead of 616 or whatever the fuck it is. All right.
Is Daredevil in your news?
We can talk about it.
The first shot of
Charlie Cox on set.
I'm in. I'm 100% in.
I love the scar by the eye.
Yep, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he looks Febu. Not gonna lie.
Febu.
Not gonna lie.
I'm looking forward to seeing everything else, how it all pans out.
Of course. What else do I have in the news? Oh, let's talk about Arrow cast another hero sort of character this week. David Cubitt will join the cast as Manhunter, who's another vigilante character. They just keep on packing that show full of
it's got a lot of persons.
It's
got a lot of characters.
I didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
No.
I'm sorry.
It's soared up way high at the end.
That's what happens.
No, I'm pissed. You one fucking exclusive.
Why don't you just get a regular one and we'll get someone paying it for you?
I don't want that. I want the thing with the packaging and the sticker.
Why are you keeping it in the packaging? Poser?
That's an exclusive.
That
stays in the packaging.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the Rebels.
I'm not a poser.
Let's talk about the Rebels.
Rebels.
There's not enough articulation to pose it.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a sec.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
7-minute trailer.
Awesome.
Looks great.
100% awesome.
I like the troopers in the helmets.
Yep.
I have gone dark.
It's
a combination between an AT-RT helmet and a Stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird at first.
No, I like it's a Macquarie design.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
When I first look at it, I'm like, that's kind of odd. And then I'm like, oh, but that's totally Macquarie.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
so,
I loved every single bit of it.
Looks
great. Can we just say it now and mean it? It is fucking Firefly.
You keep saying it.
It's fucking Firefly.
You keep saying it.
I'm going to keep saying it. It's Firefly with biblical names.
So who is Mal? Is Mal the Jedi
Kanan.
Or is Mal the kid?
No. Mal is Kanan.
Okay.
The Jedi.
So who's the kid?
I think the kid, well, it's not as archetypal.
Right.
You have the muscle. What's his name? The
big brute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Jane.
Yeah.
You have the girl who is
Zoe, I guess?
I guess. I mean, if you have to slot it off,
she's
like kind of
got a silly hat. Yeah, she could be the muscle.
You have the what you call it girl with the tentacles,
right.
Who is the pilot? Who I guess is by
Wash.
He's Wash by elimination. Yeah. So who does that leave?
Kaylee, Simon.
Kaylee is the droid,
right? Yeah,
more or less.
Right, right.
And who else?
Book? Simon and Book.
No, we don't have a book.
And so, is all of them.
We don't have a Simon. So the kid's got to be. The kid's got to be her name? Willow.
Oh, yeah. River.
Yeah. Willow.
But anyway, it looks great.
Yeah.
It's first 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it when it comes out.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, look for it. It's still online.
It's on StarWars.com, I think.
Yeah, it's all over YouTube.
We're so close. Just stay dark.
We're not that close. It's October, isn't it? Or September? End of September or October?
It's a month. Plenty of stuff's going to come out. I'm just staying dark.
Are you you want to talk about that thing? Because I can add to that.
I'm a little annoyed.
Which thing is that thing?
The one right on top.
This one?
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Is that about the re-release?
It's about the
rumor that it's going to be an all-female cast.
It's going to be an all-female cast.
What?
Sony is eyeing Bridesmaid director Paul
Feig
to direct Ghostbusters 3. The Hollywood Reporter added a brief but significant bit to their press release saying, sources say that the film will be a reboot focusing on female Ghostbusters.
What a terrible fucking idea.
Well, a reboot,
first of all, terrible fucking idea.
Well, there you go.
Ugh, awful. I don't mind mixing it up, but really?
They report that no formal negotiations have taken place.
Oh, it's not real then.
But the studio has clearly set its eyes on a director.
When's the re-release? Who director? Oh, Feig. When is the re-release?
The theatrical one?
Yes.
Soon.
Yeah, because I want to go to that.
Soon.
And I just saw
later
today.
Later this month, maybe?
When the Goat and I
went,
they're also re-releasing Forrest Gump.
Yes, I saw that IMAX. In IMAX. Yeah.
So I would definitely see
I don't
that.
Know that I need to see that in IMAX.
It's not the point of whether it's in IMAX or not. The point is it's another opportunity to see it on the big screen. So if you've never seen it on the big screen,
right,
it's a wonderful opportunity to do that.
Okay. Fair enough.
You know, it's like when I saw Wizard of Oz, too, which I've only seen, what, 6, 7, 8,000 times, but I still went to see it on the big screen.
I understand. I saw Gump on the big screen, so I don't know that I need to see it again. Wizard of Oz I'd never seen on the big screen, so that
there's value in that. Why don't you take your boy?
See, far as Gump? No, thank you.
It's appropriate.
Right? Ghostbusters? Ghostbusters you going to take him to?
No, I don't want to be that dad.
Really?
I don't want to be the 3-year-old screaming kid in the movie theater guy.
Okay.
A little bit older.
So you're not taking him to Star Wars next year?
4-year-old by then. 4 and a half by then.
I was going to say, because there's no way that's not happening.
That might be.
Your dad took you to Empire.
He did.
Didn't he? When you were like 4?
And I was 3, and I had to leave halfway through because I started screaming when the Wampa came out. Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, Wampa's scary. Wasn't that the first 10 minutes of the movie?
Yeah. I might have gone back in. No, I think we actually did go back in.
Did you see? So you saw Jedi then when you were like 7?
I did see 6? Jedi. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go.
So, you want to move to product then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to just
Let's
talk about those?
Let's do this first, and then we'll do the POA thing that we've been teasing. So this is the Funko Mini Mysteries Guardians of the Galaxy's vinyl bobblehead. First off, Funko, I love you, but why does it have to be a fucking bobblehead?
I think because maybe they don't have the rights to just do.
Can they not
SD
just have the rights at this point?
Well, I don't know. They can get, you know, every single type of product is up for rights.
I know.
So who got the vinyl bank rights?
I hear
Probably
you.
Diamond. Who got the, you know, the mini stupid figures? Maybe Whatchacallit got the rights to those.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe Kid Robot got the rights to do actual minifigures of them. So Funko has to say, all right, well, we want to do minifigures too, but we can't actually do them. So fuck it. Springy neck bobblehead, we're in. That's what I think it is.
So there are 12 figures total.
12?
Yes, 12 figures total.
How could there be 12?
Because there are multiples on some of them.
Oh,
but
I
like the pack out on the bottom says you have a 1 in 12 chance of getting each figure, which means there is no rare. I like that.
Yeah.
So you have 2 Star-Lords, 2 Rockets, 2 Draxes,
mm-hmm.
2 Ronins. One Nebula and one Gamora.
Two
Nebula.
One Gamora, one Groot.
One Gamora, one Groot.
Yeah. Well, that's cute.
Yeah.
One Groot.
So I
want the Gamora one.
I got a Star-Lord.
Oh, Gamora glows in the dark.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So actually, the 3 of them are special. There's a glow-in-the-dark Gamora. There's a glow-in-the-dark Drax.
You mean Nebula.
Nebula, sorry. Yeah. There's a glow-in-the-dark Nebula. There's a glow-in-the-dark Drax and a metallic...
Ronin. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I got Drax and Star-Lord. They're just, you know, they're like...
They're cute.
They're cute little minifigures.
Yeah, I think if I got a Rocket one of those, I wouldn't be upset. Groot one I like.
I really wanted Rocket and Groot, of course.
Of course.
I did not pull them, but I'll probably just get them on eBay rather than buy more blind box.
Yeah.
I think. But it's interesting. Be careful when you're buying them on eBay because the Rockets are selling quite exorbitantly high.
Really?
And the pack out is even.
Yeah.
So...
It's an even shot.
Don't let them.
Yeah.
Don't let them
soak you
too much. You know, I understand he's in high demand, so you're gonna pay a little bit more. But don't let him soak you. Don't pay 30.
Speaking
3-inch bobblehead.
Speaking of soaking you, is he even 3-inch?
Yeah,
it's
I think
2.5,
think
it's about, dude.
That's about the same size.
Speaking
as
of soaking you, I thought of you the other day because
same size as a Dunny. Dunny's 3-inch.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, actually, a little taller than Dunny. But
all right. Speaking of soaking you, I thought of you the other day when I was scouring eBay looking for the one exclusive that I still don't have that I want. And I saw, did we talk about the TMNT exclusive? Shadow Leonardo?
We did. No, we did not talk about it. No.
Okay, so there was apparently, it actually looks pretty cool, I thought.
Is it this line though?
No.
Is it that line?
It's not the movie line. It's the regular Nickelodeon line.
The Nickelodeon line.
Right, but he's like in shadow. Like parts of him are black. I thought it was a really great concept and a great idea.
Yeah.
Some dealers on eBay, $84.
Yeah.
Other people, $295.
$295.
$2.95.
Wow.
I thought of you.
Yeah, I mean, I might check it out. I might try to seek it out.
That's what I'm saying. I think there was a Shredder also, but yeah, I didn't see what the Shredder
if there
was.
If it was Donatello, I would definitely seek it out.
I know, that's
Leonardo,
what
Leonardo, I'm a little... But, yeah, and well, look, eBay is...
eBay.
You know, eBay is bastards galore. Bastards run wild on eBay.
Let's talk about...
Let's talk about POA.
My two-day involvement in the POA discussion.
All right, POA, so, for those of you who don't know, stands for Points of Articulation.
Points of Articulation, yeah. And so our friend Jason,
yes,
who runs a great website called yakface.com.
Right.
Star Wars collecting website. The guy's really good at what he does. Really great site.
I actually like Jason. I talked to him online a bunch too.
And you know, like, we have no beef. He and I have met a bunch of times. Yeah. I got no beef with the guy. I like the guy. I went to his event at the last celebration, I think. And or the previous one of them, I went to his. He had the Yak Face had like a party thing, and I went to it, had a great time. So I really like the cat. And as you know, we also talk about JTA, Jedi Temple Archives, right, on the show. Paul Harrison runs that site, and I'm a huge fan of those guys, because what we do on our show is we kind of hit everything in the culture.
Sure,
they are like beam focus. On like collecting mostly action figures. JTA, I think, is a little more. I'm not sure if Yak Face is doing other than action figures, if they're doing sort of like what JTA has been doing, which is some more different collectibles and so on and so forth. And I think the reason that this is happening is, and what we're about to talk about is happening, is because it has been a shit year, really two shitty years for Star Wars from Hasbro.
Okay.
Things have been shitty. You know, there hasn't been a lot of product, and the product that has come out hasn't been really great.
Right.
Now, the Black Series has come. The 6-inch figures have come, and they're, you know, pluses and minuses on both of those sides, and you can make arguments about this, that, and the other thing, and that's fine. That's not what I want to do here. What I want to do here is say, guys, if you're Star Wars fans, go to these sites. Go to the sites, support them, read what they're writing, get involved in the conversation, and so on and so forth. So, what happened? JTA, Jedi Temple Archives, posted a link of a video, brief video, that Jason made on YouTube, Jason from yakface.com, posted on YouTube talking about how he was going, on his site, was going to be reevaluating and resubmitting, if you will, the number of points of articulation in given action figures.
Okay.
Right? So Jason's argument, and I hope I'm not misrepresenting him, and if I am misrepresenting him, he's certainly welcome to call the GVM line.
At 425-920-6050.
And let us know that. But basically what he was saying is, if a point of articulation has multiple actions, that it should be counted as multiple points of articulation. So
no.
So let's take let's just take a simple one, the wrist.
Yeah.
If the wrist turns, you know, like a wrist turns, that would be one. But if it also folds, you know, like folds forward and back, but it also turns side to side, so that would be 2 points of articulation, if I understood what he said correctly.
Let's just talk about the term points of articulation,
which is where I think the problem lies, because I and everyone else have always stated, point of articulation is the place where articulation takes place.
The point where articulation is.
Yes, right. So, for example, on a 5-POA figure, it's usually neck, shoulders, thighs. Right? But there have been
some figures. Think classic 3¾ Star Wars.
Exactly, just as an example. So my argument was, well, what if it has a ball-jointed neck, right? His argument is, well, it goes up and down, like, you know, like you're saying yes, that's one, and like you're saying no, that's two. And I said, well, what about if you're going from shoulder to shoulder? Because that's not going up or down, and it's not going left or right. It's kind of going shoulder to shoulder. Shouldn't that be three? And it's ridiculous to then say, well, wait a minute, well, what about this motion? Shouldn't that be one? And so on and so forth. So I had a little, not a row, but I feel an interesting conversation with him. And OG will post the link.
Yeah.
As long as the video is up. I understand the video might be coming down in the next couple of days or so. But I had an interesting conversation where I got into it with him, where I said, why are we doing this? Why are we reinventing the wheel? And I think it's because
there's been so little stuff to talk about from Hasbro, and there's been so little stuff going on that these guys want to keep the conversation going, and rightly so. And I'll have a conversation with any of those guys about anything because they know their shit. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
We always stand near Paul Harrison from Jedi Temple Archives when he's doing his Q&A because it's just brilliant shit. It's just brilliant. And he knows shit that I'm just like, how the fuck do you even know that? Like, seriously, Scapegoat. Scapegoat hasn't experienced this yet, but I'm serious. You stand near one of these guys and you're like, savant. Like, Star Wars figure savant. But I think when anyone starts trying to reinvent the wheel, you know, because Jason's explanation was, well, I wanted to add another layer of detail to the reviews or to the, you know, describing the figure. And I said, but isn't the point of qualifying how something is articulated part of the review process? So if you say he has a neck, he has articulation in the neck, but it's just this left to right, right? And you say it should have been a ball joint. I think that's part of the review.
Of course.
I don't think pointing out, well, he does this and then he does. I just think it's kind of extraneous.
Especially because, I mean, think about some of the hyper-articulated figures. Yeah. Think about a Spider-Man figure that's hyper-articulated.
Exactly.
Remember that period where it's like 90 points of articulation.
Do you remember what started that? Blade.
Yeah. But what I was going to say was they have a ball joint in the hip. They have a ball joint in the knee. And they have a ball joint in the ankle, a lot of those.
Right.
So now the ankle goes up and down, left to right, in and out.
Yeah.
Right? The knee does that. I mean, you would...
I think if I count it correctly, it's 816 points of articulation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If we were to use Jason's system.
Because you could make the argument on a head, for example, that every... turn of the head is a point of articulation then.
By that, that was my... So
right,
was
it would be 360 points of articulation just in the head.
So in conclusion, not to belabor the point, there's two reasons.
Right.
There's two reasons I want to bring this up. But before I bring it up, I want to say I think that conversations that Jason has been having with people like me, and I'm assuming other people as well, I think... possibly has given him pause to reconsider that idea or to reconsider how people would take it, especially longtime collectors who I think would be like, what? Like, you know, like it's, I understand where he's coming from. I just don't think it's I don't think it's an accessible conversion. And I don't think that people are going to accept it.
And this is no offense to, this is no offense to Jason either or anybody else who comes up with their own sort of system, rating system. But I kind of feel like it's not up to the collector to come up with the points of articulation.
So
it's up for Hasbro to come. Now, as a collector, we could dispute the points of articulation.
And comment on them.
You're saying it's 10. I think it's 8. And this is why.
Right.
That I agree with. But I think it's Hasbro, Mattel, NECA. I think it's their job.
That's funny that you say that.
To come up with the points of articulation.
That's funny that you say that. Because what I said to him in one of my last comments was, you know, it is the designer who is coming up with these points of articulation.
Right.
Like if his orders are, he's supposed to be articulated at the knees, then he gets articulation at the knees, regardless of what type of articulation it is. That's where the articulation's taking place. Regardless of what direction it moves, that would be 2 points of articulation because that's the place where the articulation takes place. So anyway, not to belabor the point, but the point I bring this up is because there are a lot of great sites out there who are having these kind of wonderful conversations about our culture.
Sure.
About geek culture. YakFace.com is definitely one of them. You should definitely check them out. Jedi Temple Archives is another one. You should definitely check them out. I also wrote Paul, and I was like, because Paul was like talking about maybe he was going to go this direction.
Yeah.
I wrote Paul, and I was like, I hope you don't go in this direction because I think it's confusing and unnecessary, but I haven't heard back yet. But the point is that I kind of get where these guys are coming from. Keeping the conversation going is what new spin can we put on it? Because it's not like in, say, 07 when there were new figures every 6 months and there were 15 or 20 of them and they were all amazing. And it's like you get 5 or 6 twice a year in 3 3/4 and some of them are the new Vader that's coming out, which Paul Harrison said is the best Darth Vader action figure that's ever come out. And and the 5-point of articulation Yoda, which is completely not the prototype we saw at Toy Fair.
But the flip side of the coin is that I think that it's a slippery slope. I'm not saying that Jason was doing this intentionally or whomever was doing this intentionally, but it's a slippery slope when you start creating news for the sake of news.
And I don't know that he was doing...
No, I understand actually, that, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get you.
I think that that is actually very detrimental.
Yeah. So let me say this.
Does this go back to the fan base? There's going to be a lightsaber-shaped marshmallow.
It might.
It does kind of go that direction. But no, I actually asked... I asked Jason that. I'm like, are you doing this because you're like you need to drive traffic? And his response to me in very firm language was, anybody that knows me knows I do this for the love of it, and I do it because it's my hobby.
Right.
I am not doing it because I need to drive traffic.
So he was trying to engage a critical conversation.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Unfortunately, I think, though, it could be perceived the other way. So
Perception is reality.
Correct. And I afforded him, I think, the opportunity to come on and say, look, I'm not doing this because I want to create controversy so that people will come to my site. It was on YouTube. I think he did it because he's really passionate about his hobby. He's really passionate about this topic, and he wanted to have a conversation about it.
Maybe it was how it was presented.
I think
if he is going to pull the video, I'd hate to see it just go away. Maybe just figure out a different way to package and present it to then elicit conversation.
Well, it's not what he's saying is wrong. It's just the way that he's saying it.
That's not accurate. No, I don't.
In
agree
terms
with
of
that.
Presenting the point, not in
no,
terms
I don't
of,
agree with
not,
that.
Not that any of us. Agree.
I feel as though I'm missing out on something.
It's
here.
An in joke between Scapegoat and I, but it's no. Let me say this. I agree with Scapegoat in one sense. The way he presented it was, we're switching to this.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Right.
I think the way to present a conversation like that would have been, hey,
what are your
thinking,
thoughts on this? Yeah.
We're thinking that we're counting points of articulation wrong, and here's what we're thinking. What are your thoughts on it?
Right.
Rather than, I'm going to switch over, and because Yakface is a very influential site, and JTA, and those are influential sites, that would somehow move through the, you know, sort of the collector sphere, and that would become a thing. I think, and I said to him, I think it's confusing. I think it doesn't make sense. I think I think it's unnecessary.
Wouldn't
convert me either, but because...
Point of articulation is a point
is
of articulation.
Is that a point of articulation?
It's where
have.
The articulation yes. takes place.
So it's that's the point.
What, that's where we think.
At
that's
which the articulation is.
Is another way to put it.
Yeah.
So again, I just want to say, you guys should definitely be checking out these sites. Yakface.com. JediTempleArchives.com. If
see right
you
there,
were a fan,
I'm pointing. That's articulation.
But you're pointing at your ankle. So let's qualify your articulation.
I have a ball joint, so
there you go. Definitely check out these sites. Get involved in these conversations. Right. You know what? If you're not a Star Wars fan, first of all, how could you not be a Star Wars fan and listen to the show? That's number one. But number two,
you can be a Star Wars fan and not
if
listen
you
to
are
show.
A if the you're reverse, not yeah. a Star Wars fan, but you're yeah. like a Marvel fan or you're like a Doctor Who fan.
Right, it
somewhere
applies.
Out there is a website who is having discussions about the things that you like. Get involved in those discussions.
Of course.
They have boards. They have conversations. They are bringing your opinions to the people that matter. Yakface does it. JTA does it. These are the people that you want. I mean, you can sit around with your friends, I don't know, make a podcast and grouse about shit.
Only if you hate yourself.
Or or you can get involved with some of these guys and really feel like, because it's true, but feel like you're actually making a contribution.
Sure.
That somebody up the line making these toys or making these decisions will actually hear. Whether they do anything about it or not is unclear from the point of most of us. Hasbro doesn't listen to shit.
Right.
But that said, you know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get involved. I'm sorry. I know it's a little bit of a soapbox. I know it was a little much, but I really...
The wrap-up music is telling us that it's time to
I know.
Forward,
that's why I'm wrapping it up. No pun intended. So,
yeah,
Guardians
was,
of the Galaxy.
I think there was some pun intended.
No,
there was all pun intended.
No.
I don't agree with you. I don't think. I think most people, when they say that, there's definitely intending some pun.
You literally think. Did they just change the definition of literally? Did I read that in the Oxford Dictionary?
Fuck
to
no.
now mean.
No, fuck no.
Yeah, I believe they actually changed
did
it
they
to
literally
now
change
mean
the
not
definition?
Literally. Yes.
they actually changed the definition of the word literally to figuratively.
To sometimes mean figuratively.
To fix the people who
the idiots.
I have a problem with that.
They also changed
that's bullshit.
They also changed the definition of ironic because of Alanis' song.
No, they fucking didn't.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
That would be ironic.
I heard that on Latino Review.
Oh, my God.
It's like 10,000 spoons. All you need is a knife.
Hey, here's an idea. Cut it with the spoon.
Spork. That's the idea.
Spork.
All right. Don't forget you can check us out online.
We're like rain
week.
On your wedding day.
There you go. It's a free ride. Big We've already paid.
Wow. You're part of this program, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Sure is. Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, at GeekStuffOG.
ScapegoatGS.
BigK. GeekStuff.
Thank you. Of course, we do still have our fundraiser going on for New York Comic Con.
Yeah. We didn't talk about that at all today.
No, we did make some phenomenal strides. However, yes. We're not quite there.
Yep.
And we'd love to hit the stretch goals.
Yes. So I had somebody ask me via this one of the social medias.
Yeah.
Ask me how much donation it's going to take to get Scapegoat to do at least in some way part of the show using some sort of goat voice.
Really?
So I gave them a number.
Okay.
And if they hit that number, of course, we're you know,
better
Scapegoat.
Start brushing up on your goat voice, kid.
Scapegoat will perform. I'm just saying.
Sure. Does he know
we're
this?
Not proud. Yeah. We're not proud here. We will, you know,
some of us,
if
some
it
of
gets
us
some there us, and gets us to do the things that we need to do, not proud.
Some of us can't perform. One of the three of us.
It's
statistically.
True.
Statistically, one
it's,
of the three
it's
of us.
Absolutely.
Without
true.
AIDS.
Can't
mean,
perform.
Or
No, I'm not going there.
Don't forget, of course, you can check us out online over at our YouTube page, our Facebook page, and all those other lovely pages.
All the pages.
Use our Amazon link. That's also very helpful.
PayPal. That's where we want the money.
PayPal is where we want the money to come in.
Please.
Yes.
And I think that's it.
And call 425
920
6050.
Leave a message.
That was OG. OG dropped the ball on that one.
I did not drop the ball on that one. How do I am?
It
I'm
always
the only
goes
one.
Counterclockwise.
But I didn't drop the ball. I actually said
he's
it.
He's first, then you.
What are you
giant
doing?
Pause. And you'll edit the pause out.
It's a distraction.
You're a bastard. You can edit the pause out.
I don't
sound
edit
ever.
You know what? I want to address something.
Okay.
I want to address something. People have been asking about the editing process on the show.
Now or,
no,
or originally?
No, in general. And they want to know if we actually edit content out of the show.
Only OG's racism.
No. And the answer to that question is, when we talk about editing the show, 9 times out of 10, 99.9% of the time, 9.5 times out of 10, uh-huh, it is not actual content. The editing process actually is putting together that
production,
that track that you look, the
picture track,
some of the
music,
production and stuff like
some
that.
Of that kind of stuff.
It's, we're not cutting shit out, and we're not doing that. So.
No. One more passing note, because it would be remiss of me. Again, I want to thank that guy Mike, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment, for getting me the Jabba from San Diego.
Yep.
I got it. It was in decent shape. He's a real great guy for getting it for me, and I really appreciate it. And that said, Aileen from October Toys got me 2 exclusives that I wanted from San Diego.
See? There you go. Isn't she wonderful?
Isn't she?
She is.
Except for that albatross around her neck, the husband.
I love George.
Well, I'm not saying I don't love him. I'm just
George
saying,
is awesome.
I'm describing.
George got me the arrow bag.
Oh, he did?
He did.
I didn't know the wrap up music.
Oh, it's in there?
I didn't know the wrap up
music.
Wait,
your shit
that
came
long.
Already? Why the fuck did my. George mailed my shit.
Are you sure he mailed it?
Yeah, he sent me a letter.
Maybe yours wasn't saying. Priority.
I'm sure it wasn't priority.
Just saying. Anyway, we do need to go.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.